Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decisions on how you can support change in our education system. This is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black.
And I'm Hadi Hab, Mr. Broussard. If you're feeling excited because I recently moved, Lindsay.
Woo woo!
Yes, so definitely very happy to finally be in my own space. Shout out to all of the roommates that I have ever lived with.
Right.
I mean, the list goes on and on.
It does.
And the places that I've lived in goes on and on. I was thinking about it. Like, I literally have lived in a new place every year since 2012.
I don't know how you did that. I'm about to go on my fourth year living where I live, and I just can't imagine moving that many times.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I'm curious to know like how much money I've spent on moving
all
these places. Yeah, but I'm really excited. I'm so happy. Hey, and also thank you for coming. I was so excited. I was like, oh my goodness, I checked your location. So
Real friends have your location, y'all.
But I was so excited to see that you're on your way here. And then so that you can see, and then you got to see all like the little design ideas that I have planned. So
yeah,
super excited.
What y'all don't know is that Hadi is an interior designer. I'm trash in comparison, but it looks beautiful.
We're on our way. I'm trying to take it slow, so we'll see.
It still looks good. Thank you.
Slow and steady.
My update, I am at a new school.
Woo woo! Yes.
I did mention that prior, but it's official now. Of course we're still doing PD and it's all online, but y'all, like, work is so much more enjoyable when you're at home. Like, corporate America, this is what your Fridays felt like.
That is so
That's
real.
Wild that y'all didn't really express it to us, but it's totally different. I'm like, I have time to, my work-life balance has been great because I have time to like really show self-care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cooking every meal. I enjoy cooking every meal.
Yes.
I can pee when I want to pee.
Yes.
That's a luxury teachers are not afforded, which means I can drink water when I want to drink water.
Yeah.
I'm just loving it. And I also have lost like 10 pounds since the beginning. Since the shutdown. Yes, body on slim.
Yes.
Hello. I can actually see it in my face a little bit, which is when you know it's real.
You look good.
Thank you.
You look good. And you definitely got me hip to these macronutrients. I've been saying that word. I don't know what it means, but I've definitely been saying it.
It's not gonna explain it to you, but yes. Moving into our segment, we're going to start with terminology time. And this is where we take a common term that's used in the education system and we explain it to you. So this one is very timely since we are rolling off of our special education mini-series. It is called the Individualized Contingency Learning Plan, ICLP. One thing you got to know about SPED, there's acronyms everywhere. So what you might remember, if you have listened to the SPED series, mini series all the way through, we talked about IEPs, okay? Now this is an ICLP, and it's a new document that's been created in place of an IEP. So after COVID-19 this closing of schools, school districts were concerned that they could not provide the services in children's IEPs. And then, as you know, lots of schools are then afraid that they're going to get sued because an IEP is a legally binding document. So in order to ensure that students are getting services and they still have the right to a free and appropriate public education, lots of spaces, but not all states, and the rules differ. Lots of states have created these individualized contingency learning plans. You might be asking, well, why would you need a contingency learning plan? Well, you have to think about it like this. If you're a student who has behavioral issues in their IEP, it's very hard to track. It's very hard to support behavioral issues virtually. And oftentimes they're just not happening in the same way because they're not in the same environment. What you also might not know is that schools are remodeling their entire curriculum. So if you're in eighth grade, right, you might be introduced and learn the Pythagorean theorem in the real world. But here in COVID world, schools are cutting, or at least my school I know, is cutting teaching students the Pythagorean theorem because they're like, oh, they're not going to need that in order to go into ninth grade. They'll learn it sometimes later on. But what if a student has an IEP goal that is rooted in that skill? Well, then they're just not going to get to it. And so instead of having the IEP, we've now made this contingency learning plan. It's contingent upon what is actually being taught. If you are a parent, I know this is really long-winded, but if you are a parent, it is vital that you are reading this contingency learning plan, correcting any errors, add your thoughts about what the school is actually writing, and advise the school in writing to change the plan if you need any changes made to it. Because it's not an IEP, there's kind of like a caveat with this in that it's an ICLP and it's not actually being supported by IDEA. It's actually just a contingency plan. So it's a binding document, but it doesn't hold the same weight as an IEP. Therefore, you got to stay on people to ensure that they are executing this plan for your child. Cut the noise. Cut the noise. Cut the noise. If you're not tuning in to Kicking It with Key, then you are surely missing out. Key is a YouTuber, self-care enthusiast, an educator, hey, a queen of unboxing, and a lupus survivor. And Key is also one of my really good friends. Kicking It with Key focuses on sharing personal journeys to light the pathway for others through tips and hacks for everyday struggles. If you're interested in cutting the noise and living your very best life, tune in every other Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can find Key on YouTube at Kian Cole. Let me spell it out for you. K-I-A-N-A-C-O-L-E. You can also find Kicking It With Key on Instagram at Kicking It With Key _. I'm going to spell that out for you too. K-I-C-K-I-N-I-T-W-I-T-H-K-I_. Join Key so you can also live your very best life.
And now it's time for our segment called We Love the Kids. This is a segment where we chat about why, honestly, we love our students. So I honestly was so excited this summer. This, as many of you know, this is actually my second summer out of the classroom. And even though it kind of feels like my first. And so I kind of thought by at this point, being a year out, I kind of would not have the same types of connections with my students. But I actually found that that was not going to be the case. And the reason is because I've been consistently still trying to reach out to my parents, even though I'm a year out. It's just been still making sure that they know that I am going to be an ever-evolving resource for them and their family. And it's not something that I'm just like, oh, okay, like I was here in the classroom for 3 years and I'm out. And so I always check on one of my students. And I also called a couple of other parents. And this one student specifically, he is just amazing. He's always was probably like 5 to 6 inches taller than the rest of the students in the class. He is, but he's definitely like a gentle giant and very like caring. He actually just had a younger brother who's actually turning one next month, which is also like so cute to me.
Baby.
Yes. And so all that to say, he hit me up and he called me. He was like, Mr. Jahab, what you doing? Yada, yada, yada. And so I was talking to him about like working and like what it means. And he actually put one of our other students on the line. And it was so funny. Yeah, so he like three-wayed him in. And it's just so funny seeing the kids like using technology. Like you
three-waying somebody in.
Yeah, so just like, what? Come on. But anyway, that's I say all that to say we were talking. He was kind of asking me like what I've been up to, but I kind of found it hilarious that his text messages are so thorough. But when it came to writing,
I'm about to say,
it would be such a daunting task. So I'm just like,
I remember them IEP goals.
Yes, right? Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so it just is so interesting to me. And mind you, like when I text him, I'm like very grammatically correct because I want him to like internalize how mm-hmm. you should be texting. Mm-hmm. And not to say like, don't get me wrong, like there will be times in which I'm like, okay, like I can use a little slang here or there or whatever. But at the same time, I'm like, I want you to be able to understand what I'm saying as well as like internalize like the words that I'm using, yada, yada, yada.
Exposure.
And so, well, I have to say, when he texted me, you would think that I was talking to an adult. Like, I'm very proud of him. So that was just, it was interesting to see the other side because, of course, when I was teaching, we weren't texting. It would be like a call of moms and right. to his dad and his grandmother to, like, let him know what was going on. But now I'm like, oh, okay, like, keep me posted. And so that was interesting. And they also just moved. And so it was really just dope to kind of hear him. And we were also talking about this, that whole idea about him. He was like, oh, Mr. Jihad, I can't wait till I go to high school. I can't wait. And I'm like, why?
Relax.
And then that was when he was like, well, because I just want to grow up. And I'm like, nope. Let's have a conversation about this, because I remember saying that. And now that I'm here, it's kind of just like, whoa, okay.
I hate it here. I hate it.
This is not what I was expecting. No, but all that to say, oh, and that's the other thing. We were talking about different teachers that have left his school. And he was so excited about a certain someone leaving his school. And another person stepping up into another role. And so I was like, okay, this is so interesting.
You'll have to tell me off air, because I'm not getting
the
cues right now.
You ain't getting the cues, but it's all right. But all that to say, this is why we love the kids.
We are now moving into our concept development, which, as you know, is our section where we get the meat of the episode. And this week we are going to talk about all things summer vacation for teachers. I realize, you know, it's the end of the summer. We didn't talk anything about summer. So something that's important to note for non-educators, because I oftentimes see tweets that are just kind of insensitive and ignorant, really, where people are like, well, teachers got summers off, but teachers do this. I would like to make it very clear to you that teachers are 10-month employees, unless they work at a school that is year-round. But when I sign a contract, I'm signing a 10-month contract. Mm-hmm. I'm not signing a full year contract where I'm getting paid for 12 months. I'm getting paid for 10 months. However, I have not really the option. It's just automatic for me. It's not always automatic for every county across the nation, but I get paid throughout the summer. So my checks would be greater if I were to divide my salary by only the 10 months that I work. But they ensure that we're paid year round. Some schools don't do that. You kind of have to opt into it, or you don't get paid in the summer. So I did want to kind of just nullify that myth that teachers are just off in the summer. There's actually some intentionality behind it and some rules and regulation. It's not just willy-nilly, you guys are free.
Right. I'm glad you started with that, because that is very key to know. And I think that, so what happens to like leadership people? Like, what do they get? They are considered like 11 and 12 month employees.
Yes,
like there, and then there are some teacher leader positions that are 11 month, and there are some admin roles that you got to be on all year round. Mm-hmm. Or like if you're the superintendent of a district, you get certain days or certain periods of time off. So, but yeah, shout out, because teachers definitely are only 10-month employees are only paid for that time. So it's not like they're getting supplemented income just because they're on summer vacation. Like,
all right. I wish. Just had to dispel that, because a lot of people use it to be like, kind of like, oh, teachers work hard, but they get the whole summer off. And I'm like, no, sis, we work hard, very, very hard.
Very hard.
For the months that we actually work and in our contract.
And this is why I'm so glad that we're talking about this today, because to talk about these other kind of options that happen during the summer, because we work hard during the year, and then what happens during the summer? Some people do more work.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many options. So we're just going to like, it's going to sound like very free flowy. I'm just going to list off the things that teachers do during the summer. Of course, there might be some other options that we just haven't named. Then we're going to talk about our specific experiences with each. So start here. Some teachers traditionally, you know, just teach summer school during the summer, or they work at summer camps to stay with kids. Some teachers actually just work totally different jobs. I see that happen very often, even during the school year. Some teachers travel. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yes.
Not right now because it's COVID. Yep. Some teachers also do some type of professional development over the summer, which I've definitely done before. I'm going to speak to that. And some teachers start master's courses over the summer.
Yeah.
Or they're working on credits for their graduate school. And some teachers just do nothing.
Yep.
They just chill.
Rightfully so. Get their mental head ready to start a new year.
Yeah, because it takes time. Okay, which one do you want to start with, Jihad? Lead us.
Let's start with travel, because I remember my summer after graduating way back in 2016. That was like the first trip that I took before I entered the classroom. And I went to Belize. It was so amazing.
Why did you go to Belize, Jahar?
So it was actually my grandfather's birthday. And so,
because you are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that reason too. But I thought you were. Yeah, I'm Belizean. And so. I also was going to believe.
That's why his skin got that glow, y'all. If you've seen Jahar, if you follow him, that's why his skin got the glow. But carry on, because people didn't know that part.
Stay tuned to the Instagram post this week, or it'll actually be last week at this time. But go like the post because got something dropping. But anyways, yeah. So I traveled and it was so, check this out. I told you about this, Liz. So before or while I was on my trip, admin actually reached out to me and asked if I could come earlier. Like if I wanted them to change my flight and they would pay for it. Like, mind you, I was very clear with them when I was hired what my dates were going to be of me being on vacation because I knew I had a shorter window of time. And mind you, like, I don't get to go to Belize often.
Right.
And so it's like, this is like a big thing. And so it was just so interesting to see that. That's how I should have known. Like, this is a little off.
Red flag.
But anyways, I'm glad I have that boundary. I'm glad that I said no. I did feel really bad, though, because while I was there, my flight was delayed and then it was canceled and then it was like this big
Wow, that ain't got nothing to do with
exactly.
You
exactly, and that's exactly how I should have felt, but it's slavery, it really is.
Like, how dare. I just want to know for the listeners, how many times have you been on a vacation and your job called you to ask you to come back and they said that they would pay for it, even though you told them well in advance?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a surprise. You didn't call out sick and you're faking.
No, I was very transparent.
It's just super invasive.
Yeah. And so but needless to say, that was one of the best trips of my life. Like, just being able to like appreciate A, my culture, but B, just having fun. And mind you, like, this was kind of like a graduation type of trip because I had just graduated. Yes. First in the fam to do it. You know, it was dope. But see, all that to say, traveling is first so much fam. Fun. Yes. First in the fam.
PH or F?
Yeah. Oh, so you pulling the corny jokes out this week?
I am pulling the corny jokes out.
We switch your places. But you tell me, what's going on with traveling for you?
Oh, so last year, me and my mom went on a Euro trip.
Yes.
My mom's my best friend, and she's my best travel. Well, I'm not going to say she's the best travel buddy because I do have some great travel buddies. I'm not going to lie.
Oh.
Shannon is pretty top tier. People are going to be upset that I didn't say them. But Shannon's right. Pretty top tier. But Sonia's up there. We went to Europe. We went to Barcelona. Went to France. And then we went to Rome. Did a little Euro trip. It was so nice.
That's dope.
And it was so... It's just nice to have... Lots of teachers plan trips for breaks. And it's just nice to have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Like, you're exhausted, but somehow you still have this energy to enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, the food tours, the wine, baby.
Yeah.
This past summer, we also, a month ago, went to Catalina Island.
Yes.
And I didn't know Catalina Island existed, but we went on the little family trip because it was super small. We did all wear masks, friends who are thinking about that right now. But Catalina Island is an island that's off the coast of like Long Beach, mm-hmm. California. So you take like an hour long ferry ride out there. It was so interesting because people, when you think island, you think very touristy, but yeah. It's like island and people live there. Like, there's a school on the island and everything. So that was really fun. Just nice to be with family and to like see new things.
I'm glad that you said that because even within traveling for me, I think that that's the other thing that I'm like always curious and eager about is to know more about what education looks like in other countries. Mm-hmm. Because I oftentimes hear about like, Sweden having this like world renowned like education system, but Sweden's a very like homogenous country. So I think that things look completely different there. But all that to say, like, I feel like it would be dope to go into other classrooms and kind of see how education looks in different countries. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if there are like educators that are kind of out there doing that. But I will say, I know one of my good friends, Sharia, she has this Black Educators Travel group. And I think that I wonder if they do any of that. I gotta follow up with her and ask her about that.
I feel like that's a great idea. Yeah. That's something I'm definitely interested in doing. And that would be, yeah, that's like another option. I guess not really a, I guess it kind of is a summer option. We think about like summer school or like summer teaching experiences.
Yes.
Because yes. I definitely did one heart source after I graduated. So we went to Hout Bay, which is in Cape Town, South Africa. We had a blast. Okay. Yes. It was just like a, it was only 2 weeks, but it was like a cultural immersion experience. Mm-hmm. I would say the most. We definitely did some tutoring. The tutoring was not up to par for me as somebody that just graduated an education degree. I'm sure that they have made leaps and bounds of progress now, but that was also a great experience. I also did taught online a month ago in June. That was good practice because I'm noticing now that teachers did not get to practice with kids some of the tech tools that were going to be required to use this year over the summer. And it shows, honey. Yes. It shows. I'm sitting here like, brr-dat, Zoom, pull, nearby, let's do this. And some people are like, oh, can we have a PD on that? And that's okay because somebody walked me through it. But I'm like, oh, you're ahead of the game.
Yes. Cool. Yes. And that, and let me, I know this is just an aside, but the virtual world in corporate America right now is also shook because a lot of people did not really know how to use these same online platforms. So it's very interesting to see that schools are trying to get ahead of the game with the kind of PD and like rolling out. Cause you know, you gotta create all of these things. This wasn't something that was just in existence. And so trying to get school, I'm glad you had the opportunity to do it during summer school because not a lot of people had that.
I got paid for the practice. Baby. Amen. That's what I saw it for. So people do be coming to me, asking me questions.
We love
and
to
it's
see
also
it.
Really nice to be at a new school and people are like, asking you about stuff because that's not usually the tables aren't turned that way. But that's summer school, definitely an option, not an option I would ever do. I only did it because I didn't have anything else to do and I saw it as something that would make me way put me ahead of the game going into school year this year. But yeah, it's not what I would do.
And see, the thing is like I know certain schools kind of, depending on the campus, like I've seen certain schools require their first year teachers to teach summer school.
Really?
To try to give them like, and as well as to do it as like a pre-service experience. So like before you go into your first year teaching, you do it.
Okay, yes.
And then hopefully by your second at bat the next summer, which honestly, it's kind of, it could be a positive, it could be a negative. It just depends on the person that you are because sometimes that could lead to burnout, quicker burnout.
I forgot about that.
So yeah, because I do remember that at one of our placements where we were, that was a thing.
I forgot about that until you just said that. Yeah, and they didn't seem no better after that summer. But I guess the bar was in hell. So moving on from summer school, some of us still like to be around kids, but in a different capacity, summer camp.
Yes.
So I used to do Camp Galileo, which is a camp in the Bay Area. I think they have one in Chicago and somewhere else too. It's a really expensive camp, honestly. But this is where I got my experience with non-Black students. So our camp was in Cupertino, California. Cupertino should ring a bell, guys.
Apple.
That's where Apple is. So I had Apple a bunch of little Apple babies with me. They were Southeast Asian, so they were Indian or Pakistani, Asian. And I feel like there were some Arab people, but not many. And of course, the whites. I don't think I ever had a Black student at Camp Galileo.
Wow.
But you know what? I have to tell you about a child. His name was Alex, and he was the cutest little thing. Oh, my gosh. And he was a nebula. So they like Camp Galileo, get it? Like Galileo stars and
Galileo,
stuff.
Galileo.
So he used to be a He was a nebula, so he was like pre-K group, right? Uh-huh. And he had like the best, allegedly, the best camp leader like the year before. And I had been there for a couple of years, so I knew Alex. Everybody knew Alex. Alex was, I believe that Alex, from what I know now, in hindsight, I think Alex had autism.
Mm-hmm.
He was so cute, though. Hmm. He was so cute. He had these little big old bug eyes. But he would get called to the office a lot, like a lot, because the team leader didn't know how to manage him, She was also a white woman. And in my experience, white women don't show that they know how to manage behaviors, So he just got in trouble a lot. His older sister was off the chain, too, but in a different way. She was, just, like, entitled and off the chain. Actually, you know what? Hold on, because she might have ADHD. Anyways, Alex, okay? Alex then became a star, and I was the yellow star leader, okay?
Okay.
And Alex was in my group, and he was all over the place. But he just needed you to, like, you know the right way we do
check
black
in
kids? And,
absolutely,
like, I'm just going to snatch you up a little bit. Yeah, you're going to hold my hand. No, I don't care. We're by the metro. You're going to hold my hand. I don't
right
care if you think you're in fifth grade, right? He just needed that.
Absolutely.
And I didn't have to call nobody. I didn't have to call his mom to do what? To hold his hand?
No.
He, one day, though, he did, I don't know why he decided to put his sunscreen on by himself, but he put that thing all over his head, his face, and I was like, it's over. It's fine. But his mom, like, really thanked me, and I told her I wasn't coming back next year, and she was, like, damn near crying, really sad, aww, because I did the best with her son.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, he just needed somebody to understand that he
absolutely
was just... He just responds different to the stimuli because he could do everything you asked him to do.
Absolutely.
You just had to tell him, you can't just walk away. You can't just walk away. That was also when I realized a lot of the Southeast Asian kids were like, so what are you? Mind you, they're like seven,
right,
6 or 7. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, well, like, you're not white. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm black. And they didn't know what black was.
Huh.
They didn't know what black was, but one of them did. They were seven. They were had to be seven, and they said something like, "Oh, do white people not like you like they don't like us?"
Seven,
and these are not black kids,
right?
Okay, I mean, oppression is just everywhere.
Hmm.
But that was a lot for me because I don't think they obviously didn't talk about race a whole bunch,
exactly,
because
right
you didn't know I was black,
right?
And they just felt so comfortable saying that. And they had never said it around anyone else.
Right.
But that was just an interesting experience. That was my summer camp experience.
Wow.
Sum it all up.
But no, but it's good to talk about these types of things though. But I'm also thinking about, so I've never worked a summer camp, but I've heard of these two opportunities. One was the Verizon Innovation Learning Camp, which is like this camp that tries to work with black boys and get them into like coding and like math, very like STEM oriented. And I think it's like free of charge.
What
and
was
they,
the
like,
name of it again?
Verizon Innovation Learning Camp.
Okay.
So that's definitely something, a resource for parents, definitely look that up when things are back to normal. I don't know if they did anything this summer, but
I don't know either, but we can definitely link it in
the link tree.
No, not in the link tree. Why am I blanking? In the description.
Yes,
will be
there
in the
we
description
go. Yes, thank you, thank you. And so, and another organization that was kind of budding when I was an undergrad was Breakthrough Collaborative. And I had thought about applying to be a summer teacher while I was an undergrad studying to get my education degree. And I kind of was teetering between the two. But I think one of the things that like kind of turned me off from it was the fact that I'd have to move to Jersey. I don't think that the
stipend
was going to be enough. And I was like, okay, I can't afford to just move and just be teaching and not really have the money for that. And then last but not least was the summer before I entered the classroom, I did my summer institute with Teach for America. Loved my students there. They were amazing. Oh my goodness, I will never forget their faces. And they were just so eager to see a black man teaching them. And this was in Philly. And so I was getting to learn Philly for the first time, teaching high schoolers. And it was a dope experience just to kind of like see and like look at it from the high school perspective because A, I thought I wanted to teach high school. Hindsight's always 2020.
Thought it was.
Definitely did not want to teach high school looking back, but nah. And funny enough, I actually majored in secondary education. So it was supposed to, I was going
to
end up in high school.
Yeah.
So that's kind of scary. But
at this point, I'm like, you might be flexible.
No, but definitely a dope experience kind of being in summer camps. And whether that is, because I do know that there are some teachers that literally lead summer camps,
yes,
for their summer job.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what they do. So definitely be very mindful, folks. Like teachers are not just out here chilling. Like we are constantly getting our hands into something else just because like we were talking about earlier, like that self-actualization exists inside of the classroom as well as in other elements of what a classroom is. So trying to redefine that, redefine what that looks like.
Yeah. This is random, but I'm also thinking like, we don't have children, but I wonder what summer teachers in the summer who are parents, like what that looks like, or like what they plan out. You know, I
would think,
like, my mom was always very intentional with like having us do something. And I'm certain like moms, when they miss the time with their kids, like want to optimize it over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, we were in all types of summer camps through and through, because my parents had to work. Like, and my parents would try to take off like a day or two when they could, but shoot, just because we had to school, that don't mean nothing.
It don't mean nothing.
The bills still gotta be paid. And I was so shook when I would hear that Alex's parents were at home all summer with them. And I'm like, Mom, like, the pops gotta work? What do you mean? Like, work? What do you mean? Where are you going?
It's different.
It really is.
It's different.
It really is.
I personally never worked an actual job summer outside of a summer camp, like, without kids.
See. Oh, well, technically, I guess. Well, no, actually, I don't think I did either. Yeah, because I babysat. I think that that's also something that kind of was. And that was, oh, my goodness. That was an interesting experience, babysitting kids during the summer.
The ones you used to babysit when you used to FaceTime me?
Yes.
They're so cute.
I love them. I love them. Cute. And then there was another family in Potomac, Maryland, and I used to have to drive the girl to Equestrian.
See, I would like that. Yes. Like, I want the exposure to it.
Right. Okay? No, and that's honestly like what I value the most about my babysitting experience is those types of experiences, like learning about, how do you go about setting up an equestrian type of, because it wasn't just like a lesson. It was like they owned a horse and the horse was at a farm. And like knowing that, because I wouldn't have known that. I would have thought like you just show up to literally ride a horse. Mm-hmm. But like this family owned several horses. Yeah. And so like that was so dope to know about that. And I also just think about like whole holistic child development and thinking about like TV time, screen time, and thinking about those.
Limited.
And I definitely think, shout out to my parents, because I think that they did a good job with that. But at the same time, I like knowing these like terms, I didn't know that there were terms for it until I like started babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what was so interesting to me.
Every time, this is also going to be random. I'm just on it today. I don't know. One of my favorite movies that I haven't watched in years is Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay.
You've watched it, right?
No, I have not. Yikes.
Anyways, for all my cultured listeners, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, go look it up. Slumdog Millionaire is basically about this. I'm going to mess up his storyline. But it's about this young man who is like on this game show in India.
Okay. Yes.
And
I know it's Bollywood. I know.
Yes, there is Bollywood scenes at the end.
Oh, I thought it was a whole...
No, it's not about... It's... Well, okay. It is. Can you just let me... Can you just let me talk?
Okay, talking
to my mother. What I'm saying is he was on a game show, right? And he grew up... I think that he grew up without his family, and he ended up being like one of the kids that's on the street that is like panhandling for money.
Uh-huh.
And he knew all the answers. He happened to be on this game show, and he knew all the answers to the question. It was like, who wants to be a millionaire? And the reason he knew all the questions is because of his life experiences, not because he studied. It was like something would happen and it would trigger a thought and from an experience that he had. And it was like, oh, I know this because of the experience. This just kind of reminded me of why you know about equestrians and the steps, not because you studied it, but because you had one experience with it, and now you're able to speak to it years later.
Yes. No, but that's very applicable, and people need to be very mindful of that, because like that's the reason why, honestly, why people are able to get so much further in life is because they're constantly involved in those types of circles where this vocabulary is being thrown at them, even if it's subconsciously.
Yeah.
Whereas like I had to work a job as a babysitter to learn this. And had I not had that experience, I would not know. No. I would have to look it up. And like looking something up is like a task. And if you don't have time for that,
And why would you have looked that up?
Right. Exactly. I would have gone horseback riding, but no, equestrian. Like, okay. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about
it. That's so, but, and then the competitions and all of that. But I'm definitely gonna watch this movie now.
We'll figure it out now that you have your new place.
Yeah,
I love it. It's not available on Netflix in America, unfortunate. But I'll find it because I would love to pay for it and watch it.
Great.
Okay, so one of our last sections we're gonna talk about and things that teachers do is like starting master's courses or graduate programs, which is where I'm going to reveal. So
drum roll
please. Yes, I got accepted to Columbia Teacher
College. Hey!
Yes!
Shout out!
It was really exciting because I did early admission. Yeah. Jihad really, really helped with my personal statement. I was super proud. I was like, oh, I can read again. You did. You're not about to roll your eyes now like you didn't, but okay. when I had the interview with the director, like at the end of it, he's like, yeah, we're definitely going to admit you. So yes. That was an excellent feeling. Jahad was there for that too. But unfortunately, I couldn't go through with the program, although I know some like phenomenal educators personally that are in the program right now. And I would have loved to learn with those Black women.
Yeah.
However, COVID really messed things up and I know my strengths and I am not a virtual learner and I'll be damned. I'll be damned if I'm paying Columbia money for something virtual. And I didn't like how they handled it with the email processes at the beginning. So that was really exciting, but something that I thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to have a master's course over the summer, and lots of teachers do this, but I just couldn't take the opportunity.
And shout out to you for getting accepted into Columbia. Like, go ahead. That's an Ivy League. Go ahead. Like,
right now.
No, but I think it is very important for us to talk about this, about like this idea that universities need to do a better job of like this tuition scam, because like, I don't like the fact that there weren't conversations being had on how we were going to modify tuition. Like, shout out to AU because they actually did release a plan about how they were going to modify tuition. But I just think that overall, like universities in general need to talk about it. Like say like, oh, you know what? This is absurd for us to be charging the same amount of money that we would charge you if you were going to be coming into a physical classroom. Mm-hmm. Like that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. It's a major problem. Did you do any master's courses?
I did.
Okay, because I know you
just
did.
So I went to Johns Hopkins, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was not the best experience. I kind of felt like I was in like a kind of like a trade vocational type program. It just felt, I felt detached from the university as a whole. I felt like the teachers were not invested. Mm. I felt like I was teaching and trying to like, that was the other issue. It was like I kind of was also working a summer job and trying to do this online program that just wasn't really designed for me. And given that I am a first generation college student, I don't think that I'm glad that you know like I'm not good at this or like I don't want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have known that. I kind of was just like trigger happy about like, oh, you know what? I can get a degree from Johns Hopkins.
Yes.
And it's like, but for what? Like, what does this actually mean in the grand scheme of things? Mm-hmm. And how is this program going to actually line me up for my definition of success? And like, I'm able to like actually articulate that now and have conversations about that. But back then it was just kind of this like, it's here, it's in front of you. So do it. And that's definitely like anti that. So shout out to all the people who get accepted into master's programs, but I will say like, please take your time.
Yeah.
Please think about it because you don't necessarily need it. And make sure it's the program for you. Make sure that you are invested in that program, that a professor or like you're going there for a specific type of reason.
You're speaking to me. But
so.
But that's important to that whole, everything that you just said, that synopsis and like rethinking it is important, especially because Black people are told college, 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 college.
Yes.
College. And that too, for lots of people's experiences has been a scam.
Absolutely.
And so like, I was like, oh, I could get a master's from Columbia. Let me go. And then I found this mentor and she was like, oh, well, why do you want to go there? And I'm like, oh, because of this? She's like, oh, you can do that without paying that money. And she got her master's from Columbia State College. And she was like, I should have just went to a state school. She opened a charter school and everything.
Yes.
And she was like, I could have not paid that money and I'm still paying it back. I could have went to a state school and done everything that I did.
Yep.
So just even more important to your point to like make sure stuff is in alignment with your definition of success.
Yes, please. Please do. Mm-hmm. Like that. Oh my goodness. If I could go back, I always say this all the time. Like, I don't regret my experience at American, but what I wish I would have been a lot, had the insight that I have now, which is why I'm on like this campaign of having conversations and mentoring students about like, what do you want to do? And let's figure out how we get you there, as opposed to saying, oh, you have to go to a university to do this. Like, and even if you want to go to a university, go to a state school or go to a community college first and then transfer. Why? Because you just saved yourself about $120,000. Okay, like, let's have that conversation. Let's normalize that. Normalize like your own definition of success, and normalize your own conversation around like how much it costs to go to university, and making sure that you actually have the means to get not only there, but through that university for 4 years. Like, let's talk about that.
Dropping bombs.
Woo!
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
That was our concept development.
Yes.
Talking about summer vacation and giving life tips. Here is the call to action. Look, y'all, sign the petition on change.org. Schools have opened with no uniform criteria for reopening issued by our federal government. It's absolutely insane. Schools in hotspot areas are in person, while other states or countries are actually doing their best to prioritize health by calling for a remote start. Thank you, DC. I mean, just look at the facts, though. There was a picture that already went viral of a school in Georgia where students are packed in hallways, but school is trying to tell us that social distancing is going to have. Tennessee has cases. There are several states where kids have cases of catching coronavirus. Am I surprised? No, I'm not surprised. So, of course, there's no data on them transmitting the virus. You had them on lockdown. Super important. Please go ahead and sign the petition.
So we're at about 700 signatures, and we need your support. This week's call to action is for you to sign and share this petition. You can find the petition by going to www.change.org/protectoureducators. In the meantime, go ahead and follow us on our Instagram pages at Hottie Hot and at Mama Lens 22.
And you can follow us on Twitter, y'all. We got a Twitter at TRP Advocates. Go ahead and retweet us. Whatever people do on Twitter, y'all know I ain't got no Twitter. But anyways,
I really don't.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you got something new, something different this time around. And we love you.
Yes. Peace, love, and light.
Hootie hoo!